Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The hobo thing just gets me every single time.
It's never going to get old. Never going to get old. I mean, you know what? I may show up to the convention center just wearing my best flannel as if I were you.
No. You got to come dressed, you know, in what, like what you think about when you think of guys hopping trains and everything. You got to have your belongings with a big stick tied in a in a handkerchief. That's it.
Well,
you gotta
I'm going
carry
full
it over
Bill
your
Bixby,
shoulder.
End of The Incredible Hulk.
Oh,
as long as someone's there, there better be a piano player. Otherwise, I'll hire someone for the day. Find a street musician. Just come with me, and you have to play the theme from The Incredible Hulk.
Can you carry your own upright piano with you, or we'll put it on wheels?
Well, no, you strap it around like you would if you had a xylophone. Same thing, keyboard. Just find one lightweight.
No, it's just like I'm going to get you, sucker. Every hero got to have his theme music, right? The guy follows him around playing the music as he's walking. It's what you got to have there. Yeah, the traveling piano guy playing song.
No,
and he
good.
Takes requests, and I could put money in a jar, and he plays a song. You turn around, hey, come on, you got to play my really heroic music. The guy gave me $5. I'm playing Piano Man. All right, fine. Let's go through that. Then we'll get back to my music.
Kind of digging that we'd have a WWE-like theme to enter to all public places. I mean, you got to announce your arrival.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, exactly.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, I can't steal his. He's still got some legs in. There's a couple of songs I've got in mind that might work for us. But no, a big couple of weeks ahead. The title game's here. The Dope's dealing with scheduling for things. Put a scrimmage for my daughter's soccer team right in the middle of the NFC title game.
Well, it's only a scrimmage, and you don't need to be there. You're not playing. It's okay.
Nah, it's not the way it works, man. Look, she needs to be able to look up and get that nod of, all right, dad's getting crusty. Time to go wreak some havoc.
You know, here's the thing. Eventually, she's going to have to play games that you're not there, and she can't
look
up
does.
At you. And
she
can't look up at you in the stands like Craig Sheffer in the program looking for his dad, and his dad's not there. And can he throw the game-winning touchdown?
Look, I've missed a couple.
You're not there, Dad.
No, they were just out in Vegas, I've missed some. I mean, this one, the only excuse I have is I may be drunk watching football. I don't think that works.
I want to be like you, Dad. You know I want to be like you.
You know, I did have some Harry Chapin, rolling again in the old Apple Music playlist today. I tell you, that'll take you back to sitting at the bar downstairs sorting trading cards and getting ready for that weekend shows. Let me tell you.
And the football's on the screen, and Harmon's watching, and his little daughter can't see him at the game. She's crying on the sideline. She doesn't know.
No, I think she'll be okay.
They'll get together then, because Harmon's watching football now.
She still did have a pretty good tattoo of the – the seams of
she's
a soccer
tattoos
ball
now?
Are like
did she,
no,
she's not
no,
even high
no,
school
no,
yet.
No,
come
you
on,
might
man.
You might
what's
as well.
Going on?
You might as well color it in. I mean,
look,
they
doing,
all
man?
Draw on each other with Sharpie anyway. No. The point is that she took she stood in and took a pretty hard kick ball yesterday, and the imprint is still kind of on her leg.
Mm.
24 hours later.
Oh man, I'm glad it's that, and not you're not letting her go in and get tattoos when she's 14
well, I mean,
years old.
Look,
little,
you know, I depending on what it is, I mean, I mean, if we're going into a Dennis Scott situation,
hey, Dad,
it's okay.
I want to get the Clooney from Dusk Till Dawn tattoo, the flames that are all on his shoulder and down.
Well,
past his
you know what though, it can't be exposed for school, right? That would be a problem.
Hey, Dad, I want to get Eli, Hawk from Cobra Kai, the big eagle tattoo.
You know, I want to be the Red Dragon, back. Dad. I want to be Ralph Fiennes yelling, "I am the dragon."
hey, Dad, I want Kat Von D's biography. Can we buy that? I want to read about that. No. All right. Well, I'm glad at least that's what's going on.
If she knew who Kat Von D's was, it's like, here's $10. You win. If that randomly came up in conversation, sure. Are you kidding me?
Dad, what do you think of this? What do you think of this tattoo? What do you think of this? Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based reps available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Well, things are getting serious here in L.A. ahead of the NFC Championship game between the Niners and the Rams, and that is because it looks like SoFi's going to have more 49ers fans than Rams fans. According to stories today, the ticket sales are trending in that direction, that Niners fans who can now buy tickets because that you have to have an L.A. area or area L.A. zip code to buy tickets was thrown out the window a couple days ago. More people are buying tickets. San Francisco to L.A. is just an hour flight coming down. They did it a few weeks ago. They're the end of the regular season. They won a big game, and now they're going to do it again. And Jimmy Garoppolo talked about it today, hoping that the faithful was going to continue to follow them down to L.A. for the NFC title game.
Jimmy, you guys, after that Week 18 game, made it clear how much you enjoyed having so much red in the stands. What does it actually do for you throughout the course of the game? And besides, you know, potentially getting false starts and making the other team go silent count stuff, but just in terms of energy, what does it do for you guys?
Faithful, they travel tremendously. It's when you could get your fans behind you like that on a road game, and we knew it. I mean, before the game even started, there was a lot of red. You could see it. But once we started making plays and they started getting loud, it just changes the momentum of the game, I think. And you could feel it on the sideline. It's not something that you could really put your finger on, and you can't see specifically, but you could feel it, you could hear it, and that's our team responds well to that. So hopefully the faithful will be out there loud and proud, and I know they're trying.
Yes, Jimmy, the force is all around you. You can feel it. Do not get seduced and murdered by the dark side of the force.
Two things off of this, Mike Harmon. One is that Kelly Stafford is not going to be happy to hear that. She is not going to be happy here that the 49ers fans are coming, buying tickets, going to be in this. They're going to be yelling things at Matthew Stafford, her husband.
Yeah, I know.
She
Stafford, is not going to be happy about and others. That. Yeah, no, there's not. Some angry people.
Ooh, it's going to be tough. But the second thing is this. Why is this happening here? Because we're used to it with the Chargers, right? For years with the Chargers up here, you know, moving here to Los Angeles, you dealt with fan bases coming in and buying tickets. And okay, the Chargers were new. They were San Diego's team. Can LA support two teams? But now, wait a minute, now we're seeing it for the Rams, and the Rams are the rock stars of L.A. Los Angeles just isn't a football town yet, because you can't just take a team after they've been gone for 20 years, throw them in, and suddenly everybody is rabid. I will drop everything to go to this game that you would for teams that you've had and rooted for two, three decades, right? It's still relatively new for the Rams to be out here. And it's new for the Chargers as well. You need 10 years. You need kids to grow up with football. And be then when they're 20, 22 years old, go, oh man, I'm getting my ticket to the NFC Championship game. That's what you need. Look, when soccer really had its big rebirth here in the United States, it was because of Landon Donovan's goal against Algeria in the World Cup back in 2011, right? When are we seeing now the next really good invention of the U.S. soccer team, national team? Now, right? You're getting all the young players are great. Pulisic is terrific. Pepe is up, and they're playing really well. You're seeing it now because you needed 10 years for that soccer explosion of kids who were 10, 11 years old. Now I'm all in for soccer. This is what I want to do. And now there's more to choose from. So now we're seeing the explosion. The same thing you're going to see with fans and football fans in L.A. You need 10 years for the kids now who are 7 and 8 and 10, 11 years old. Hey, football is here. It's really exciting. I love watching it. Now I'm into it. You need that time, and then LA will be a football town. There's no reason it won't, because look, it's always going to be a Dodger and Laker town, right? You're talking about two of the most heritage teams in each sport, right? The Dodgers have been playing baseball since the 1880s, you know, and the Lakers, there's not a bigger star-studded franchise in the league. It's always going to be a Dodger and Laker town, but it doesn't mean there's not room for football. It's just not there right now, because you need a little more time. You need a little more time to get those kids to be older, and quite honestly, what you really need is you need a superstar. All right, you need it because LA is a superstar town, right? We are superstars with the Dodgers, superstars with the Lakers. We are a superstar town. If you are a great player, we are going to absolutely just flock to you. And the Rams are a terrific team, right? They're full of fantastic players. Odell Beckham is kind of a star, but not really, because he's not the exciting look at what Odell did guy. Matthew Stafford's a really good quarterback, but is he a star? He's not a breakthrough star. And the Rams don't have any of them. The closest one is honestly Justin Herbert. And is he, because I see more Justin Herbert jerseys more and more the last few months than I see any other jerseys here in LA with kids wearing them. Because Herbert is a bleeping superstar, man, and you see it. The aura around him and Joe Burrow is just going to continue to explode as these guys keep playing. So that's why I still think, you know, hey, two teams and the Chargers and Herbert and, you know, getting kids growing up on Justin Herbert right now. So those couple of things need to happen. You got to give a little bit of time for that, and you got to get some stars. And the Rams need some star players if you're going to cut through and be that kind of popular team. But it's not like it can't happen. It's the 49ers are just going to be the beneficiaries right now of that. LA is not a football town just yet.
Yeah, I think there's something, the caveat to the not a football town is it's not a Rams town yet, right? Because I've been to a couple of games. You've been out and about. I mean, we've all been there. Anybody that's listening that's been at SoFi or as a team first entries, there's football fans of every team showing up there, right? You could find maybe not a Cardinal fans unless the Cardinals are in town. Because I know a lot of folks that still say they've never met one. But the idea is that you can line up fans from every team if you go to SoFi on any Sunday during the year. Now, there's a lot of reasons why tickets are available. And any report that starts talking about, you know, the absurd or crazy prices, or, you know, basic economics and supply, demand, and opportunity, and what the actual face value are. Do a little bit of research before you put out any nonsensical articles about any of that crap, because I'm not hearing it. But when it comes down to this, you've got, you know, your football fans, right? Not necessarily Rams fans. You've got the, say, your company owns them. All right, deciding who gets to go or giving them to somebody, you know, and distribution of, wow, we got to the playoff rounds and we got this far. What do we do now? And we can get what for them? And it'll pay for how much of our 22 seats? I mean, that's what you have is a lot of folks recognizing there's an opportunity to flip, and whoever's buying them is buying them. And in this case, you got a lot of 49er fans that want to come, or they're already here, you know, because people our age, Jason, who are their favorite teams in the National Football League? The Steelers, the 49ers, and the Cowboys, right? Because they won. And they were on TV all the time. So there's plenty of 49er fans within the Los Angeles area. And I got to question, you know, how much of that they realize when they started getting some feedback. It's like, wait, there's how many that identify the 49ers as their favorite team?
Oh, and the Raider fans? How many people identified the Raiders as their favorite team?
But that's
LA.
My point, though, is that you've got, all right, add them as the fourth, right? Those are four teams that have international fan bases, and especially folks, you know, with the disposable income of, you know, our age and older, those were the star teams. So a lot of kids adopted those, maybe not because they wanted to, but because that's what showed up under the tree from mom and dad. Oh, you know what? They're the big winners right now. We don't know what to buy you, but here's a Cowboys jersey. Meanwhile, I'm running around in a Vince Evans jersey, hometown, you know. But all of that factors in to this. I mean, we've seen the photos, and, you know, your building and the Chargers, I mean, there's something to be excited about there. Not to mention the Powder Blues win. Right? Yeah, they win the day.
Look, and it's not like it's not going to happen. It's just going to take a little bit of time, right? To make that immediate oh, look at life. No, you got to give a little bit of time. When fans start getting to the point where they're growing up on it and the kids are, then you're going to see the big boomerang explosion. But it's going to take a little bit of time. So for now and the next couple of years, yeah, you're going to see stuff like this happen where, boy, Niners fans are all coming to buy up tickets at SoFi. It's kind of how it goes. LA's not a football town yet. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Carmen. Right now, all the Niners and Raiders fans in LA are going, what are you talking about? Where do you live? I'm coming to your house.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Carmen weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byard. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ba-da-da-dum. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show, with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And according to reports, James Harden is either going to be traded by the Nets because he can't stand being in Brooklyn, or the Nets are not going to trade him at all, and they're going to hold on to him through the deadline. Well, there's only one person to talk to get all the insight on that and have the Lakers actually hit rock bottom and begin to come back up, crawling out of the hole like Bane did. He is on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 analyst insider, on the ball with Rick Bucher podcast. Rick, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Gentlemen, I am doing well. I'm doing well. Not as well as Matt Bucher, as we all know, but otherwise I am doing pretty damn well.
What's the latest exploits from Matt Bucher these days?
Let's recap. Matt Bucher, we found out, if I can remember, Matt Bucher won the state championship, has a girlfriend, and has a new truck.
So actually, now that I mention it, so he was named All-State. The accolades still come pouring in when it comes to football. He's doing well in basketball, not to the same level, but he's on a pretty good team. But he crashed the truck.
Whoa!
No.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault.
And he's okay.
He's okay. Truck is going to probably be totaled. A guy turned into him. He couldn't do anything about it.
Wow.
But as a result, see, the thing is he inherited this truck from me. And he had always had his eye on another kind of truck. And as a result, he may wind up with the truck that he wanted. So even when it goes bad for Matt Bucher, it ends up going well. I don't know. The kid's got a horseshoe up his ass. That's the only explanation I can have for life for Matt Bucher. Somehow, even when it turns bad, it turns good.
And meanwhile, Rick Bucher is now sleeping in the second bedroom with a space heater, and is only allowed out of his room on alternate weekends. So
I'm gonna be paying for like four different cars as a result.
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna be doing.
All right, so while it's Matt Bucher's world and we're all living in it now, the last couple of days it's kind of in James Harden's world, and the rumors around swirling that he's not happy, but the Nets are going to hold on to him. What's the deal here, Rick?
Well, look, I find it comical, the idea that the Nets are going to trade James Harden. So what? You're left with KD, who's coming off of a sprained MCL, and Kyrie Irving, who can only be there half of the time. Please make it make sense. There's no reason for the Nets to make that move. And ultimately, if they can, they'd love to have James Harden back. I think there is some legitimacy to his frustrations when it comes to the situation. This is not what he expected it to be, and quite honestly, I think he's coming to the reality that it's a little bit like when KD went to the Warriors. Like, no matter what I do, no matter how I play, in the case of KD, this is Steph's world, and it's always going to everything's going to gravitate toward him. I think he understands that that's going to be the case in Brooklyn, and he now looks at the possibility, and I know his relationship with Daryl Morey is good, and I know that Daryl Morey is tremendous in we won't call it tampering, luring players that he's interested in to come play for him. And so I think there's something very real about the possibility that Harden is going to take a long, hard look at Philadelphia once he gets to free agency this summer. But the idea that the Nets would do anything, make any kind of a move now. I don't know where those. I've talked to some Nets people in the last few weeks. I don't know where those ideas are coming from. I would say that they're about as solid as the rumors that the Cleveland Cavaliers, once they lost Ricky Rubio, were going to try to make a deal for Russ Westbrook to fill that gap. Not ignoring the fact that what that would do to Darius Garland, their young up-and-coming all-star point guard, who seems to be doing just fine, stepping in and taking extra responsibility with Rubio out. I put neither one of those possibilities in the realm of possibility.
All right, well, I'll ask the question for Smith. They made their move, the wonder of the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau and company. Did we hit the April wall early, even though they went and got Cam Reddish and haven't figured out how to get him in or what?
Well, so, you know, everybody got all excited about them making the move to get Cam Reddish and the trade and that the Hawks got fleeced. The problem is that it doesn't resolve, you know, the first red flag that went up for all the people that I talked to was that Cam Reddish said, you know, I'm a star. And I'm sorry, but, dude, you're going to have to wait in line if you want to be a star with the New York Knicks. Julius Randle's already there. RJ Barrett is already there. That's not what they needed, a guy to come in and do. And so it only complicates the picture for the Knicks. I also, and I think I told you guys, like last year, that was a wave of Tibbs comes in, he does what Tibbs does. You have Julius Randle playing for a new contract. You have Derrick Rose, and you manage to keep him healthy all year. Like they surprised people, and they were all committed to the idea of, hey, we're going to get the Knicks back to being relevant, and they succeeded. But it was a bit paper thin, and it was exposed in the postseason. And they've only gone the opposite direction. You have no Derrick Rose now. Kemba Walker was not built to be your closer, and he wasn't built to be your full-time point guard. It was supposed to be we're going to mix and match between him and Derrick. Julius has his money. He's not playing at the same level. And so you just look across the board, and I think it's where the expectations were. And I think we talked about this at the beginning of the year, too. I like some of their young talent, but we know how Tibbs operates. Like Obi Toppin, I think, should be playing way more than, 16 minutes a game? But he's not going to come off playing Julius 35, 36 minutes, no matter how Randle is playing. It's just Tibbs is going to ride his veterans. He's going to ride the play. He's not a developmental coach. And I think for where the Knicks are, ideally, they took the success that they had last year. It bought them a little bit of time. And then they said, you know what, for us to really get our feet under us, we need to develop some of the young talent that we have. Last year was nice. But we got exposed in the playoffs that our veterans are not good enough to carry us where we want to go. So we need to take a step back, and we need to utilize our young players. I don't know that Tibbs has ever done that. They're certainly not doing it this year. It's not the approach that they had, and it's why they are where they are. I expected them to take a step back, maybe not one as big as this, but then you lose Derrick Rose, who I think was their quietly their MVP last year. And this is where you find yourself.
Rick Bucher with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so from the Knicks, where, you know, it's just you're stabbing my heart with every word you say.
You know what? You know what? Me? Just stop that. Stop that. You know. Well, I didn't tell
you. Doesn't
mean
he wanted to hear it, Rick.
Dude, all you had to say, Rick, was what I said at the beginning of the show. The Knicks are banking on and treating Julius Randle like he's their Giannis, he's their Embiid, and he's not that good. And that's the deal.
I told you that last year.
And that's the deal.
You should already be conditioned for that. Like, that shouldn't even. That's right. We should be past. You know what? This is like when you're trying to show somebody how to do something, and they like and you think they got it, and then, you know, a year later, you say, oh, hey, how you doing with that? And they go, oh, yeah, I don't know how to do that anymore. You're like, what are you talking about? It's a year later. It should be a foregone conclusion that you can do that. Like, we should be moving on to step two.
Oh, yeah. Hope's a dangerous thing, Rick.
I don't know how to do that anymore. All right, now, normally, and here's a flip side conversation, because I know the Knicks conversation is
the most painful segment I've ever had. The disappointment is Rick,
hey,
so
listen,
large.
You were already burned up coming in here knowing you're paying for five trucks over the course of the next year, okay?
You're damn right. I came in salty, and yeah. you just brined me over twice. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. Look, your wife is coming home with a new truck. Your neighbor's coming home with a new truck.
Yeah.
A new truck.
Yeah.
Rick Bucher's getting trucks for everybody. All right.
Oprah's standing out on the front lawn.
Go see Rick Bucher, man.
Seriously.
He's handing out trucks like candy.
As I've been on the show just now, Matt just texted me, can you Venmo me $600? I'm like Mr. Moneybags now. He doesn't even have to say what he needs the $600 for. Dad, you're just going to give me $600, right?
Wow.
That's nuts.
When I was little, I felt bad asking my mom for $20. Hey, can you give me $600?
So,
what are you going to Vegas?
No, actually, I owe it to him. So there's that. But he also, if he makes Allstate, I guess they give you like a patch or something. And he goes, you got to give me an extra $36 for the patch.
You have to pay for the patch?
Yeah, I got to pay. I gotta pay
and then
for
you got to pay for someone to put the patch on?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I need the $600 for the seamstress who's going to custom make the jacket for the patch.
It's Moneybags Rick Bucher with us here on Fox Sports.
Man.
All right, so from people who are not going to get into your pocket for anything, although they probably would to pay off Russell Westbrook's salary.
Right.
The conversations about the Lakers have been very difficult, but I do want to throw this out there. Has the worst passed for them? Anthony Davis is back. LeBron James is dominant at center, and maybe they're not going to turn into a great team, but maybe the backsliding is stopped and things can get better from here on out?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think as much as people have painted it doom and gloom, the reality is that nothing has been irretrievably lost in this season for the Lakers. If you look where they are, and I haven't looked where they are in the standings of late. Last time I looked, they were 7th seed. They were like they're right in the mix. So there's nothing that prevents them in looking at the West from moving up to 6th or being in the 7th and needing to win a play-in game to get into the playoffs. Like, they're still capable of all that, and depending on who they get matched up with in the first round, they're capable of winning a playoff series. And who knows? Like, I mean, you get injuries, you get all kinds of things that can happen. So the potential of this season has not been completely lost. And certainly with Anthony Davis coming back, they should be a better team. Now, are they going to be the world beaters that everybody was suggesting that they were going to be when they put AD and Russ and LeBron and Rajon? Remember when he was supposed to be part of this deal coming back? And no, they're not going to be that. And so, you know, but where they are and what they're still capable of, like, to your point, like, they're still capable of being in the playoffs and putting a scare into somebody, and who knows? So that's where, as bad as things have gone and everybody's drubbing them, I look at it and say, hey, I didn't expect what everybody else expected. So maybe, you know, my bar is in a different place, but I look at where they are, and I'm actually thinking, okay, you know what? Malik Monk has shown that he can make a shot. Austin Reeves has shown that he can give you something. There are pieces there that will work. I mean, I think the biggest issue is, like, how much you have to rely on LeBron James and the minutes that he's playing, and can you get to the finish line where he's going to be good to go. The whole idea in getting a Westbrook and having AD was that LeBron wasn't going to have to carry as much weight. And I still look at them and they're, you know, without LeBron, LeBron remains, for all the scoring that he's doing, he remains their best playmaker. And even with AD back, I think there's some defensive issues. But I agree with you in that I look at the Lakers and I think they're still in the mix. And as long as they're in the mix, I don't think it matters where they're seated. They can still be part of the playoff picture. Do I think that they're going to be in the conference finals? No. But do I expect them to be in the playoffs? Yes, absolutely I do. And I would not be surprised if they win a round before they exit.
All right, Rick, the last thing for you. You got Grayson Allen with the latest activity, your latest on FoxSports.com. If you could, you know, give us a quick analysis to tease folks over to your column.
Yeah, well, everybody basically wanted him drawn and quartered as a result of the foul on Alex Caruso, and it made it sound as if, you know, this is something that Grayson does every week. And without question, he has a reputation. But I wanted to talk to NBA people about, have them watch the foul, you know, watch the clip, and then give me their take both on the foul and on Grayson Allen's reputation. And, you know, I got far more of a balanced, imagine this, far more balanced approach from real people than I did from people on Twitter.
How dare you?
And, yeah. And I'm actually going to do my next podcast is going to be on this subject as well, because I, you know, I look at Grayson, first of all, it kind of surprised me, you know, for his reputation and for the way people reacted to the Caruso foul. That's the first flagrant two foul of his 4-year career. I don't think you would have ever imagined that. And he's only had three flagrants in his entire 4-year career. What he is, and again, I'm going to lean on Matt. I asked Matt Buecher this question. I said, what do you think of Grayson Allen? He goes, I said, do you think he's dirty? He said, no, he's an irritant. He's like Pat Beverly. And I think Matt Buecher is right on. So good for him. He's going to get a new truck.
He's on Twitter at Rick Buecher. That is at Rick Buecher. And don't forget, podcast up there. Check out the link on Grayson Allen. The verdict in on him being a dirty player or not. Rick, as always, appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy. We'll talk to you next week when maybe you're another couple of trucks down.
All-wheel drive, yo.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Great stuff from Rick Buecher, as always. Man, I'm telling you, he's going to be buying trucks for everybody. He's going to be down like 5 or 6 more trucks next week. I had to buy 6 more for everybody.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. And yes, now, TJ, we're going to do the Michael McDonald story and how it relates to Jim Harbaugh. TJ. So earlier today, you probably saw the report that the Ravens are close to hiring Michael McDonald to be their new defensive coordinator, right? Wink Martindale was let go a few days ago. And Michael McDonald, who helped build the Wolverines defense into a top 10 unit, is now leaving. He's 34 years old and going to go be the DC with the Ravens. Jim Harbaugh talking to his brother. John Harbaugh says, yes, 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 yes. And this is what's happening. Now, you can see this story and say that, well, this means Jim Harbaugh is gone, right? He's losing his defensive coordinator. He's gone to the NFL. He's leaving. He's leaving. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. I'm going to take you the opposite direction on this. If Jim Harbaugh was really going to the NFL, wouldn't he have been gone by now? Wouldn't he have been the guy who was interviewed by 4 teams and it would have happened right away because teams are fighting with each other? We want Harbaugh. We want Harbaugh. The Raiders would have already done their other interviews and hired Jim Harbaugh. Other teams that he wanted to go to
anywhere.
Would have hired him. It would have happened by now. He's not going. And what he's hoping to do now clearly is let me cash in on that. I had to take less money from the school to stay last year. Now I've won the Big Ten and maybe
things are going to start happening. Maybe not, but maybe things are happening and I want to stay. And we've beaten Ohio State, so now you got to give me some money. And here comes the NFL stories that maybe he can go, maybe he couldn't. Because if he was really going to go, by now he would have gone. And there's no way teams are waiting for Jim Harbaugh to make a decision to say, yes, now I'm ready to talk to you. No, it would have been a feeding frenzy. We would have known by now, yes, Harbaugh's there. He would have been snapped up 2 days after the end of the regular season when people are doing interviews.
I was trying to say that all along. He's not going anywhere. Right? Brought in a new defensive line coach from Notre Dame, poaching him. You've got guys on the staff that have been there a while. They just move on. McDonald, I like the choices that Alex made there as well. Teased the story, and he was all over it. Nicely done, AT. But I've been saying it all along, right? Everybody would have been falling all over themselves. The reports are, just like last year, he's the one making the calls, right? And you've had how many countless interviews for pretty much every job that's been out there, with the exception of New Orleans. We've had no fewer than, what, 7-8 candidates per job mentioned as would-be interviews, or guys that are getting a second interview, right? Bears, now that they have a GM, getting into second interviews directly with the man now in charge. All of those kind of things happening. Harbaugh's been a non-factor, and this is not one that's going to sleep, because everybody involved with his camp likes the publicity too much for this not to have gone somewhere. Right.
There would have been, because it's Jim Harbaugh and there's really no other exciting coaches around, it would have stood out even more. And we would have gotten stories that Michigan would have put out a denial. We're keeping coach. So really,
the only one that did was Stephen Ross down in Miami.
Yeah, he's well.
That's
we're not going to get Jim Harbaugh.
Well, we're not going to take him. In other words, he wants to stay at our place.
Yeah.
Right? I'm a Michigan man, and we've got a good thing going, so I'm not taking him.
Doesn't that look like, hey, will you say something about not taking me? Maybe juice up the interest in the other teams. Can you do that for me, Stephen? Thanks, I appreciate that. If he was going, he would have gone by now. It just would have happened that way. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, Tyshirt's learned a lot about the Doobie Brothers in the last 5 minutes, so I consider this last 5 minutes a success.
If I hear you, I'm going to be there one more time.
Yeah. Coming up next, a big-time NBA trade you will not see. This is Fox.